So the question was asked, when we're making a halachic decision about an issue that is medical, how much weight can we give modern medicine when we know that modern medicine, as it becomes more modern, changes its mind? Right? That's the question. So today they say this is healthy and that's not healthy. And tomorrow they say that's healthy and this isn't healthy. Okay, so on certain things we'll say what Rabbi Feinstein once said, if we listen to the doctors, we won't eat anything. Because today they tell you, you eat too much of this, that's not good for you. Tomorrow they say no, chocolate is good for you. Today they say wine isn't good for you. Tomorrow they say wine is good for you. Right? Granted, there is a level at which we say, you can't listen to everything they say, they'll drive you crazy. That's true. At the same time, we have to know that the life expectancy has increased. We can't ignore that. So medicine doesn't know what they're talking about. On a certain level, they do know what they're talking about. Let's add a little bit more complication before we try to get some clarity. The Chatam Sofer has a fascinating tshuva about medicine. And those of you who want, we had a guy who used to learn here, and his father used to be into medical research. It was in a lab. And they wanted to research what the effects of, I think it was crab.
What?
Crab.
What's crab?
Seriously?
What the effects of that would be on a liver that never encountered it. They wanted to see a certain medication, how it would affect the liver, so they wanted to see a liver that never ate crab. So his father had the brilliant idea of going to Bnei Brak and working with getting samples of livers from volunteers in Bnei Brak. They never ate crab, they ate kosher their whole life, and being able to work in the laboratories with parts of the livers from Bnei Brak and this part of crab. Why is this so interesting? Because the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that if you eat vermin, if you eat bugs, cockroaches, it harms your body. So the Gemara asks, well, the non-Jews, they're eating snakes and lizards and all this kind of vermin, and they seem to be fine. So the Gemara says, yes, their immune system is different. They eat it, they're used to it, their immune system is used to it, they're used to it. If a Jew is going to start eating this stuff, it's going to affect them adversely. And that's one of the places where we find that the Gemara discusses that Jews react differently medicinally. And if you think about it, you could understand it spiritually. There are spiritual Gemaras about our being created differently. And you could also understand it scientifically. We have a different diet, we have a different lifestyle. If you look at it spiritually, then even a person who just did tshuva, and until today he was eating all the non-kosher food, he's part of this category. If you look at it scientifically, then he might not be part of this category, because he's also grown up eating this. But even so, his genes are different, because he comes from a long line of people who ate only kosher, and that's going to affect us. So the Gemara says that medicinally, when we look at Jews and non-Jews, there might be a difference, because our diet is different, and many things about us are different. If you think about it, I mean, you've had a few millennium here where we've been eating differently than they've been eating. Waiting between meat and milk, we don't know how that affects our system. Not eating all these foods, we don't know how that affects our system. So the Chatam Sofer says that all the experiments and all the things the doctors tell us, we have to take with a grain of salt, because they do all their experimentation on non-Jews. And they're different than us. So we're not sure if everything they tell us medicinally is true for Jews. Everything they tell us, we have to take with a grain of salt. That's a Chatam Sofer, which is a very interesting thought. And the question is, how do you apply that? So that's what I said. Before we start addressing the question, we have to first add a little complication. Now it's even more complicated, right? Why should we trust modern medicine? They're talking about people who eat pig. We don't eat pig. Maybe it won't affect us. Maybe because you eat pig and you smoke, that's why it kills you. But if you don't eat pig and smoke, then you're okay, right? Who knows? So this really is a question which the halacha deals with. And it's true that just because medicine says something, we don't jump and say, yes, they're right. At the same time, one of the things a posek has to consider is how much do I trust the medicine? And there are halachot about this. There are halachot. And sometimes what we're going to say is, just like in halacha, you have no one to consult but the rabbi of your day. In medicine also, you have no one to consult but the doctor of your day. You can't start saying, well, maybe in 10 years they'll know more. But today this is what they know. So you have to deal with that. You have to assume that this is my best bet. Now, does that mean that I'm going to take everything medicine says and go with it blindly? No. Sometimes I say they're quacks. They're wrong. I'm not listening to them. There will be times when we will not accept what they're saying. But in general, we do accept what they're saying. Modern medicine. The question arises, for example, what do we do with homeopathic medicine? Or homeopathic, maybe not be such a good example, but all kinds of herbal or natural remedies. Some of them have no basis in science. So who says it's not a avodah zarah? I mean, there are people who say that's ridiculous. That's just doing EGBG. There's no reason that's going to work. Okay, that's a discussion. Depends which type of medication. And it has halachic relevance. Do you permit a person to take that kind of medication on Yom Kippur? A person needs certain medication, and they say it's life-threatening. And now he's got some herbal remedy to treat his cancer. Are we going to tell him, yeah, continue your herbal remedy on... So that's a bad example, because a person who's a cancer patient probably can't fast on Yom Kippur, and anything that'll make him feel better, that's enough of a reason to let him eat it on Yom Kippur. But there could be other instances where if it were medication that we trusted, we'd let him break his fast for it. And if it's something that we don't trust, then there's no reason to let him. So again, the psychological factor might be enough of a reason to let him have it. But this is discussed. The question is correct. Your question is correct. Just because medicine says it doesn't mean we're automatically going to jump and observe. If medicine says a person, once he's over a certain age, shouldn't eat fatty foods, well, we won't necessarily buy that. I mean, if his heart doctor recommends it, it's okay, fine. But to say it as a general rule, we don't necessarily say that. So you're right. We don't take everything medicine says blindly. And that each issue has to be judged by a rabbi. We take each issue individually and we verify what the statistics are. We do serious research into the topic and then we come to a conclusion. We don't just take it at face value. We don't just say, well, because medicine says it's a bad idea, we won't do it or we will do it. We do not. You're right. And we take into account that medicine is constantly developing and changing its mind. Everything you said is right. But that's why you need a halachic authority to research the subject and come to a conclusion. And sometimes the conclusion is going to be, I cannot verify beyond this, and for what I know now, I have to rule this way. And the ruling might change as the knowledge changes, just as with cigarettes. 20 years ago, they knew a certain amount. The halachic ruling was one way. It's quite possible that if Rabbi Feinstein, Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's how we're around today, his ruling would be different. I don't know. That's tough to guess. But you're 100% right that just because medicine says something doesn't mean we're automatically going to assume that it is a truism in Allah. That's 100% true. We analyze each thing medicine says. I'll give you an example. There's a certain fertility issue that... I'll give you a better example. Modern medicine says a woman can only become pregnant when she ovulates. There's a 24-hour period after she ovulates when she can become pregnant. You miss that window, she can't become pregnant. The Gemara Nida brings an argument. When can a woman become pregnant? When she gets out, when she ovulates? Or is there also another period when she can become pregnant? Two opinions in the Gemara. Two opinions. The Gemara discusses two opinions. It's a Gemara Nida, it's a Gemara in Sota. Doctors today, it depends on which doctor you'll talk to. They have ovulation kits where you could check when a woman ovulates. Some kits say, know when is the only time you can become pregnant. Use this kit and you will know. More accurate kits will say, know when is the most likely time for you to become pregnant. Because modern medicine doesn't understand it, but they know that a woman can also become pregnant at a different time, not only at that 24-hour period. So the halacha says, a woman can become pregnant at other times as well. She's more likely then, but not only then. Modern medicine, really, if you check it out clearly, they don't understand it. They know that she's likely to get pregnant when she ovulates. That's the time they understand how she becomes pregnant. But they also know that it's not 100%. Some doctors won't tell you this. Some doctors will say that's the only window of opportunity. Yes, yes, no, no. Other doctors, who know a little bit more, will say, that's when she's most likely. Halacha says that's when she's most likely, and we don't bow our heads to them. So if a woman has a fertility issue, And sometimes the issue is the period that she ovulates. So if a rabbi has done a lot of research, he might tell her, so what if modern medicine says that? You still have a chance of becoming pregnant. Don't run and play around with your body and take hormones and all kinds of stuff that are really dangerous for yourself, because you can still get pregnant, even though the doctors are saying it's unlikely. It's likely enough that you don't have to do fertility treatment so fast. And we know that this happens often. We who have experience in halacha, it's very relevant for us. If you don't keep halacha, so you could do whatever you want whenever you want. But if you do keep halacha, sometimes you can't. And the halacha still says, we have enough experience with enough tens of thousands of women to know that modern medicine is not right on this. They're talking statistics, and the statistics are just that, statistics. They're not 100%. So that's an example of an area where we don't listen to modern medicine. There will be many issues of fertility where we do. And that's true in every area of medicine. So you're right. That's part of what a posek has to evaluate. How much weight am I giving to this research? Someone came to me with a shayla this year that it was dangerous. I don't remember the shayla, but there was a certain statistic that within that statistic there was double the odds that certain things would be dangerous for the person. So we did a little bit of research, and we found that double the statistics was the difference between 0.00008% to 0.00001.6%, or something like that. It was like this tiny, tiny, minuscule statistic that, go prove it. And then you do a little bit more research, and you find out that the statistic was based on a research of like 3,000 women. So it means in this research, one woman got danger, and in this research, two. I mean, it was like only one statistic. And when you read the research paper itself, you see that they say, more research has to be done. This is inconclusive, because on such numbers, you can't reach any conclusive thing. Right? But when you talk to the doctor, he might not have read everything. He might just have read the bottom line, double the statistic. So when you come to a ruling in halacha, part of what you have to do is try to do the research. Where's all this coming from? What was the real research that was done behind the statistic? Or what is the accurate statistic? So you're right. Everything you're saying is right. We don't take what modern medicine says just at face value. Whatever they say, we buy. At the same time, we give it a lot of weight and we verify it, and we will go with what they say when we can, when it makes sense. So, but it requires research.
Do we obviously? I mean, if
I just want to add one point. If you read, a friend of mine has contact with a person who's in by Rav Avadia Yosef every day, and part of Rav Avadia Yosef's schedule every day is an hour a day he gets lectures from doctors, top doctors, every day, an hour a day he's learning about medicine. He has to give halachic ruling every day. Every day they bring experts to teach him about medicine, about the advances in science and in electricity, all the different sciences, because he has to give halachic ruling about cell phones, about phone lines in general on Shabbos, about hospitals, about medication, in order to give ruling. He has to understand what's going on. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal was also that way. He'd have lecturers come and teach him. When I called Rabbi Feinstein with questions in medicine, so he'd tell me, you have to give me all the information about the medicine. I don't know about that case or that medication. Rav Halberstam Zatzal was an expert. Doctors used to consult with him. The big rabbis have to know about the questions, and part of knowing is getting educated. So Rav Avadia Yosef they bring before him lectures every day he's learning about modern science. That's part of what he has to know in order to give ruling in halacha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry, I got you off.
No, I was going to say, when there's a confliction between the Torah and the law of the